are back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. Roberto has now four minutes to refute the systematic plan to rid Europe or to prove it. The systematic plan.
I know that Mr. Berg's only argument against the systematic plan.
No, don't just present your.
Yes. I would first like to address Mr. Berg's only argument, then I present mine, okay? His only argument against the systematic plan to kill Jews by the Nazis is that Elie Wiesel and his father chose to go with the Nazis when they evacuated Auschwitz.
That's not his only argument. Just present your views, please.
Okay. I will present then the evidence before I discuss how ridiculous Mr. Berg's
Please just present your views.
My views. Okay, I will quote, I will restrict myself to quoting. I could quote many fellows, could quote Goebbels, I could quote Hitler himself, I could quote Hans Frank, I could quote many Nazis.
Please do.
Himmler put it most succinctly at his speech in Posen on 6 October 1943. He spoke before the high party leaders of the National Socialist Workers' Party. Yes. And he said there were records of his speech, and there were transcripts of his speech. Yeah, they were translated, and I have here the a translation. Yeah, which from which I shall quote. Yeah, he says, "I ask you that what I tell you in this circle, you will really only hear and never talk about it. The question came up to us: what to do with the women and children? I decided to find a very clear solution also in this respect." This because I didn't consider myself entitled to exterminate the men, that is, to kill them or to have them killed, and to let the children grow up as avengers against our sons and grandsons. The difficult decision had to be made to make these people disappear from the earth. For the organization had to carry out the task. It was the most difficult we had so far, and so on and so on. So here Himmler, yeah, the man in charge, yeah, he's speaking about what he has done, about what he has almost totally accomplished by this time, 6 October 1943. He says that the Jews, the decision had to be made to exterminate the Jews, and that this decision had been carried out, and that it was the most difficult thing for him and his organization to do, it was a high effort of which he even considered himself proud. This was Himmler, and Himmler must have known what he was talking about. Yeah?
And what is the source for that? What is the source for that, Roberto? What is the source?
Okay, the source for that is a book issued by edited by Bradley F. Smith and Agnes F. Peterson in Berlin in 1974. Yeah, which is called Heinrich Himmler, Geheimreden, that secret speeches, 1933 to 1945. Bradley F. Smith, if I remember correctly, was one of the prosecutors at the Nuremberg trial of the war criminals. Yeah. Okay. So he did an edition of the Himmler speeches that were found in German files. Yeah. And this included the record of the speech which I have just quoted from. There are other statements which are very clear from the topmost ranking Nazis, from Goebbels, from Hitler himself, yeah, quoted by Goebbels, that's
okay,
go in the same direction.
Okay, your time's up. There's a question from the chat room. Please ask Roberto if he receives any money, grants, donations, advertising income from Jewish sources, and also what organization you might be a member of. This is the same question that I will ask Friedrich when we come back.
Yeah,
do you receive any money, grants, donations?
Not a cent. I've never seen a cent for what I do. Okay, I do this.
Okay, be right back.
Thank you. This is an important message from hempusa.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Deanna, our guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. You may address your questions to spingola1@yahoo.com. And I will ask you, Friedrich, do you receive any money from any right-wing or neo-Nazi groups to do what you do?
None whatsoever. I wish I could get some support, but I'm not getting any.
Okay. The question that I would like you to take about 4.5 minutes or 4.5 minutes is, what is the basis for your beliefs? And remember that evidence falls into four categories: eyewitness accounts, statements or confessions, or innocence, documentation or material evidence, bodies, murder weapons, and physical structures. What is the basis for your beliefs?
Science, just logic and science. The medical science that's available in any hospital, a mortuary in a hospital, and is available in major medical libraries and public libraries all around the world. Cyanide gassings and carbon monoxide gassings cause corpses to turn bright cherry red, except for very, very few exceptions. That's not something I invented or just fantasized at all. That's a simple medical fact that's confirmed in medical literature for more than 100 years. The great advantage today is that we actually have pictures of corpses of people who died from cyanide or carbon monoxide, and those pictures are very stunning. 20 years ago and earlier when I was doing research and writing on this stuff, you might see only a few words in a emergency medical toxicology handbook, you know, corpses from carbon monoxide or bright cherry red. But that didn't really register very much with people. They would, you know, move on to the next page. But today we have pictures, and excellent quality pictures because of digital photography and because of the search engines that allow us to find corpses and lots of pictures of corpses. So the evidence today is stunning, literally stunning. Mr. Muhlenkamp, amazingly enough, actually found the picture that I use as the logo or in the logo for my website. It's a very dramatic picture. 20 years ago, we didn't even have digital photography, and one could get all kinds of distortions because of the lighting and so forth. But the basis for my opinions and my website is entirely from the scientific medical literature, as well as, you know, the claims of the Holocaust fanatics who are out there, and from the establishment. I refute those claims because they really are absurd. As far as, well, what should I say here?
What about Fred Leuchter's information?
Well, Fred Leuchter was an expert in a field that essentially had no experts at that time. Gas executions had been outlawed for roughly 20 years before Fred Leuchter came on the scene. And Fred Leuchter, for all his expertise, and it was considerable, still had not seen even one actual gas chamber execution. He genuinely believed, I'm sure, that gas executions would be quick and relatively painless if done properly. Well, he was wrong. He simply didn't know what we know today from very intense studies of gas chamber executions that occurred in the past and have occurred relatively recently. Gas chamber executions are a mess, and that's why in the United States generally, gas executions are not even possible anymore. I think they're still allowed as an option here in Arizona, but in general, they've been abandoned because people had it brought to their attention just how monstrous these things are.
All right. Is it, getting back to what the science, is it impossible to get rid of that many bodies and cremate that many bodies? Scientifically, is that possible?
Well, of course not. You can get rid of the bodies, but the cremation process is actually a very difficult process. It's not some quick, easy process where you just toss a few bodies into an oven and poof, they vaporize. It's a slow process. And that is a major problem for the Holocaust hoax, because they've claimed again and again that as many as five bodies at a time were put into these very small crematory ovens and then cremated in 20 minutes. That's technically impossible. It's absurd. Part of the problem is that the brickwork is very fragile. The high temperature refractory brick is actually very breakable, and it has to be treated very delicately if you're going to have any refractory brick at all. People don't realize that, but it's actually rather crumbly. It's expensive. These bricks are very, very expensive, $50 a brick, $100 a brick. The prices vary all over the place depending on the temperature ratings. So you do not want to stuff bodies into a crematory oven, because if they come in contact
with the... Okay, time's up. Sorry. All right, Roberta, you have an equal amount of time. What is the basis for your beliefs? Remember eyewitness accounts, statement of confessions or innocence, documentation or material evidence. What is the basis for your beliefs?
I wouldn't call it beliefs, because you only have to believe something when you have no evidence. When you have evidence, you follow the evidence. You don't need to believe anything. Okay? The basis for my, let's say, conviction or for my accepting the historical record is the fact that all known evidence, be it eyewitness testimonies, be it documents, be it demographic data, be it physical traces, physical remains, point in one direction, which is the genocide of 5 to 6 million people by the Nazis. There is no evidence whatsoever that would point to an alternative scenario. Yeah? Revisionists are not able to have not been able in 7 decades to produce anything like a plausible alternative scenario. I mean, they say that the people who went to Auschwitz and to Belzec, Soviet War Treblinka, they were transported onwards to the occupied Soviet territories. Yes, the Nazi-occupied Soviet territories, where, by the way, the Nazis were also killing off the local Jewish population. Alone makes that absurd. Yeah, but think about it. 2.5 million people are supposed to have been taken to Russia. Yeah, okay? And 70 years, yes, and 70 years after this is supposed to happen, revisionists cannot provide a single name of a person, a single name of any person who was transported to Russia via any of these camps. Not one name. And providing names of people deported, yeah, who then would have survived, who then would have filed compensation claims and so on. Yeah, that should be the easiest thing in the world. The fact that not a single name has been provided 70 years after the event is clear, is very, very clear evidence that the revisionist case is bankrupt. Okay? I want to address what Mr. Berg said about the color and about gas chambers in the United States, because he just repeated what he had said before without addressing my counter arguments, as may have been noticed. As to cremation, the size of the cremation ovens at Auschwitz-Birkenau is well known, yes? And I would challenge Mr. Berg to demonstrate mathematically that 4 or 5 bodies, especially if there were bodies of women and children, could not have fit in there, yes, without damaging the brickwork. I challenge him to do that. Demonstrate that mathematically, and good luck, okay? Yeah? Besides, bodies were not only burned in crematoria, they were also burned in the open air, also at Auschwitz-Birkenau. Yeah?
And you have proof of that?
Yes?
You have proof of that?
Oh, yes, there is proof of that. There are ground photographs showing open-air cremation. There are air photographs showing smoke from open-air cremation. Yes, and there are, of course, the testimonies of various eyewitnesses who supervised or who participated in the open-air cremation. Yeah? There are documents showing that when the Jews arrived from Hungary, for instance, the number of people working in the crematoria and the number of people was increased considerably. Why would that have been done unless lots of people had to be cremated, lots more than would correspond to the camp's normal mortality? It doesn't make sense. Why would they have to burn people in the open when the crematoria were working? Auschwitz had the biggest crematoria in all of all concentration camps. They had their capacity was far above that of any other concentration camp. And the normal mortality among the inmates wasn't so much higher. Yeah, especially in 1944, then in other concentration camps, which had 1, 2, or 3 ovens. Yeah, Auschwitz in 1944, yeah, had at least 15 ovens operation. Assuming the other 15 plus 8, 23 were broken down, at least 15 ovens in operation. And yet they had to burn people in the open. This is shown in photographs. This is shown in air and ground photographs. So why did they have to burn people in the open unless they were killing people in large numbers? Yes, this makes no sense. Of course, proof of open air cremation can also be found at camps like Belzec and like Tkelmo and at Treblinka. Yeah, because open air cremation was not perfect. It left lots of remains behind. It left ashes, bone fragments. Yeah, sometimes whole bones. Yeah. Sometimes even tissue was left behind. And that was found in 1945 by Polish criminal investigators. It was found more recently at Belzec and at Sobibor by archaeologists who did core drilling and who established how big the graves were and what they contained. Okay, so
you're saying that graves have been uncovered?
Graves have been uncovered at Belzec and at Sobibor. Graves have been were uncovered by the Soviets in the occupied territories of the Soviet Union.
Oh, all right. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. Mm-hmm. When we get back, then we'll take Friedrich. You'll have 3 minutes. And the question then will be, 60 million people died in World War II. What makes the small number of Jews so special? Be right back.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. If you have questions, address those questions to spingola1 at yahoo.com. All right, a question that did come out of email is 60 million people died in World War II. What makes the small number of Jews so special? Friedrich, you have 3 minutes.
What makes it so special is that they were essentially still alive after the war and lying their heads off, and they're still doing that today. It's a very good business for them. It gives them political power. It rationalizes the crimes they're currently committing in Palestine. It's been a great ride for them, and they're going to keep on with that pack of lies as for as long as possible. That's why they're doing it, and what they're doing in the process is vindicating Hitler and the Nazis who tried to expel them. If I may, I'd like to get back to cremation. Mr. Muhlenkamp's claim that there are photographs, aerial photographs of outdoor cremations is absolute rubbish. There is no such thing. There is merely a single photograph, as far as I know, from a aerial reconnaissance plane, an American plane from August 1944, that shows a plume of smoke from a very small pinpoint type source, perhaps the chimney from a steam shovel or something like that. And there is nothing in the photograph to convince anyone that that is a image of an outdoor open-air cremation. what we do see in all of the aerial reconnaissance photographs taken by American planes are the chimneys of the crematoria, the four crematoria in Birkenau and the crematorium, a small one at the Auschwitz main camp. And all of those chimneys show no trace of smoke whatsoever. If anything like the mass cremations were occurring, as Mr. Muhlenkamp and others allege, we would have seen lots of smoke. Aerial reconnaissance flights are particularly interested in evidence of smoke from buildings because that indicates some sort of industrial activity. Maybe guns or weapons or explosives are being manufactured in such buildings. But all of the aerial reconnaissance photographs that show the crematoria chimneys fail to show any trace of smoke at all. You cannot even see shadows from the clouds of smoke that might have come out. So these claims about these crematoria being used intensely and even so intensely that they had to burn bodies outside in the open are rubbish. There are
All righty. Your time's up. Roberto, you have 3 minutes, and the question is 60 million, or the claim is 60 million people died in World War II. What makes this small number of Jews so special? Go.
Okay. First of all, I would say 5 to 6 million people is not a small number. Yes. And of course, Mr. Berg cannot come close, cannot even begin demonstrating that these people were alive at the end of the war.
Because I can.
No evidence speaks against that.
That's hey, wait. Yes. It's Roberto's turn. Let him speak.
Yes? Okay. What makes, I mean, of course, 60 million people died, 40 million people in Europe. They were all the direct responsibility of the man who started the war. It was Adolf Hitler and of Nazi Germany for having started the war. What makes the Jewish victims so special? I don't know. I mean, the Nazis, even if we look only at the number of people they murdered, they didn't murder only Jews. They murdered more non-Jews than Jews. They murdered Soviet prisoners of war. They murdered the inhabitants of Leningrad by starvation. They murdered other Soviet civilians by starvation. They burned people to death in anti-partisan operations. Yeah? If you add them all up, all the non-Jews they murdered, you end up with more people, something like 7 million, than the number of Jews they murdered. What makes the Jews, Jewish genocide special is that it was, well, an attempt, the first of all attempts, to exterminate a whole people in a whole continent. I think something like that has never happened before. And that's what makes the quality of the crime is what is special, and not the quantity of the crime, and not the number of dead people, because they were only part of a much larger mortality. And there were more non-Jews than Jews murdered by the Nazis. The quality of the crime is what makes it special. As to cremation, there is an article which we recently wrote on the Holocaust controversies blog site, which discusses all these arguments regarding air photographs. First of all, there's not only one air photograph showing smoke. There are several air photographs, and there's one that shows a rather big plume of smoke. I once measured the area covered by that plume of smoke, and it was something like, if I remember correctly, it's like 20,000 square meters. Yeah, so it must have been a very big fire. Okay, then there are not only air photos, there are ground photos. They were clandestinely taken by members of the Polish resistance, and they show people being dragged, people naked, people being dragged to burning pits. Okay, so it's not only air photographs; it's ground photographs too. And these ground photographs, they are authentic. They have been reconstructed how they were made. The guys who made the map have been interviewed by historians, so there is no doubt that they were made at the place at the time when they were made.
All right, Roberto, okay. we are out of time, out of time. We are going to a 3 minute break. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side, and you'll each have 8 minutes. Give you the questions when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival competent. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. These are the claims. Please prove or refute the claim that Germany started the war. Please either refute or address the issue of Allied bombing and the issues of typhus, starvation in the last 5 months of the war. You may also include things like burials. Also, the question from the chat room. If Hitler wanted to kill all the Jews, why were some of his officers partly or wholly Jewish and along with all his driver? All right, Friedrich, you have a little over 8 minutes.
Well, that's quite a plateful. I don't think I can even really begin to answer that.
Just begin.
And I don't think I even want to discuss the beginning of the war. My view, very in a nutshell, is that Poland, in collaboration with the United States and Britain and France, wanted to provoke a war which they felt they were going to win and ultimately did win. And Hitler's response was a reluctant response. He tried to negotiate with Poland, but the Poles absolutely refused to negotiate with him. Anyway, that's a long subject all by itself. I'm going to try to go back to some of these false claims that Mr. Muhlenkamp has made about the aerial reconnaissance photographs showing open-air cremations. Those claims are absolute rubbish. There might be several frames from a single plane that showed the same plume of smoke, but there is nothing in the photograph to give anyone good reason to believe there was any kind of open-air cremation. there are two ground photographs or alleged ground photographs showing an open air cremation, but both of these photographs have been so heavily retouched and very obviously retouched by a clumsy photo retoucher that they really have no credibility. So in any event, if there had been these huge open-air cremations, as Muhlenkamp and others have alleged, well, everybody would have known about it. And you would have had an intense smell covering all of Birkenau, for sure, if not the entire area of Silesia, where these open-air cremations must have occurred. And yet, when we get back to Elie Wiesel and Primo Levi and countless other Auschwitz survivors, when they had a choice to go west with the supposed mass murderers, they chose to go west with the mass murderers rather than be liberated by the Russians. And this simple fact, which is underlined by Elie Wiesel himself in his great book, undermines the entire Holocaust legend. If only 100 Jews had been murdered in gas chambers or whatever, that would have been more than enough to scare the heck out of everybody else in Auschwitz and run away from the Germans as fast as possible. But that's not what happened. The Holocaust survivors that are alive today and going to public schools and who I try to debate, but they refuse to debate me, are living proof of the simple fact that the Nazis kept these people alive. If the Nazis had ever wanted to murder these people, they certainly would have been able to do it, and they would have probably done it. But these people are alive today precisely because the Nazis fed them and gave them clothing and shelter and protection and medical attention as best they could, even in the last most terrible months of the war, as far as Germany was actually concerned. So the evidence against the Holocaust story is overwhelming if you're willing to open your eyes and get away from the obvious false evidence that people like Mr. Muhlenkamp rely on, such as the confession of Rudolf Höss. My goodness, they didn't have to torture Mr. Höss every day. They just had to torture him a few times to let him know what was in store for him if he didn't behave like a good little boy and support their pack of lies. He was now, also terrified as to what would happen to his family.
What about the typhus and starvation?
Well, typhus and starvation were a direct consequence of the Allied terror bombing of German civilian targets, of bombing things like the dams, the water supply, electric power plants. Those epidemics were a direct consequence of the Allied terror war against Germany. The real terrorists were the Americans and the British and the Russians.
All righty. You still have a couple minutes.
All right, well, I'll keep talking then. Look,
yes, go ahead.
No credible evidence that even one person was ever gassed to death. I've proven that all of the so-called eyewitnesses to these gassings are in fact scurrilous liars. Even if you didn't see the bright ready, red cherry red coloring of the corpses in the gas chamber, you would have seen it hours later, even days later, because these bodies were so numerous, supposedly, that they were literally building mountains of these naked, with these naked corpses. So there was endless opportunity for people to see bright cherry red coloring. Interestingly, Mr. Muhlenkamp does admit correctly that there are only about two dozen people who have been brought out over the years as credible eyewitnesses. But there would have been many thousands of people passing by to have seen these things. We would have seen that in the cases of open-air cremations. Birkenau was a huge camp, and the supposed mass cremation that Mr. Muhlenkamp is talking about was within the boundaries of the Birkenau camp itself. Everybody would have been aware of that just from the smell, and no doubt many thousands of people would have seen these bright cherry red corpses lying on the ground burning slowly. And furthermore, there would have been lots and lots of evidence afterwards, because open air cremations are very inefficient, very ineffective. They get rid of the flesh, but huge portions of the bones are left. And where would those have been? The fact is, they're not there anywhere. There are no autopsies to show that even one person was ever gassed to death at Auschwitz or Birkenau or Belsen or Treblinka, any of these places where supposedly this stuff was going on every day for years, and that the numbers are in the millions. It is rubbish. It's shame. It's time to put this filth behind us as quickly as possible.
All righty. Roberto, please prove or refute the claim that Germany started the war. Refute or address the issue of Allied bombing, the issues of typhus, starvation in the last few months of the war, and the fact that there were so many Jews who served in the army and also drove for Hitler.
Jews never. Half Jews, okay? German half-Jews served in the German army. Full Jews never served in the German army. Diana, as Mr. Berg ignored your questions, or most of them, and...
We're not doing a character thing. Just address those issues, please.
What? Am I not allowed to address Mr. Berg's arguments?
Yes. But don't critique.
So Germany started the war because Germany invaded Poland, and not Poland-Germany, okay? That's where Mr. Berg ended, and he went to the open-air cremations. In this respect, I would recommend that he read an article on our blog site dated July 22, 2012, which is called The Auschwitz Air Open-Air Incineration and Ground Photographs. First of all, regarding the forgery allegations, okay, Mr. Berg claims that the ground photographs, which I mentioned, are forgeries. Well, one of my fellow bloggers went into detail and examined this question, and he shows the retouched versions of these photographs, and he also shows the original unretouched versions of these photographs. The article, dated July 22, 2012, is called The Auschwitz Open Air Incineration Ground Photographs and Revisionist Forgery Allegations. All forgery allegations are soundly refuted. Derek, please read it. Okay? As concerns the open air cremation, yeah, there's another article by the same blogger, which is dated August 11, 2012, which is called The Auschwitz Open Air Incineration Photographs as Evidence for Mass Extermination. There, all photographs which were taken either from the ground or from the air are mentioned, and you can click them and you can see what can be seen on them. So don't rely on me, rely on Mr. Berg. Look at the photographs and see what they tell you. Okay? Read this and read our arguments. Mr. Berg's argument that, the smoke would have been noticed. It was noticed, of course. Everybody in the surroundings of Auschwitz-Birkenau knew what was going on. Yeah? Okay? One of the defendants at the Frankfurt Auschwitz trial, yeah, he couldn't believe that there were people who pretended to have known nothing, yeah, because he said, listen, you could smell it. Everybody knew it. Yeah? That was angry. His name was Oswald Kaduk. He was angry when there were people who claimed at the trial that he had known something. He was one of the defendants. He said, now they're putting the blame on me. Everybody knew. Okay? So don't lie. Everybody knew. You could smell it. Yeah? You could see the ash on the table sometimes. Yeah? When the wind was blowing. Okay? Yeah? Same at Belgrade, Sobibor, Treblinka, and so on. The people around, yeah? Soviet and Polish investigators collected the testimonies from lots of people around who testified to having seen and smelled what was going on, seen and smelled the smoke. Yeah? What they didn't see, of course, was the corpses, because there was a high fence, 3 meters high, to keep anyone from looking inside. So nobody from outside could see what was going on there. The only ones who could see the bodies were the inmates. They could see the bodies, and of course the SS men, and there were so many. Okay, Mr. Webb says that the cherry red discoloration would have shown, okay, 2 or 3 hours after death. The problem is that Mr. Webb cannot show us any eyewitness testimony that describes the corpses at that time. At that time, the corpses would have been in the graves, or they would have been on the cremation piles. Yeah, nobody describes the aspects of the corpse at that time, and it's also natural because most of the working inmates, yeah, who were in charge of cremating the corpses, they didn't survive, so they couldn't tell anything. And the SS guys, they were spared, but they were in charge of both ports. Okay, so that is no argument. Yeah. Let's see if I remember anything else. Mr. Berg claims that typhus was the conditions in German concentration camps at the end of the war was the consequence of Allied bombing. Allied bombing may have contributed to these conditions, but maybe Mr. Berg can explain why on earth the Nazis, crammed tens of thousands of people into these concentration camp hellholes. Yeah? And it wouldn't have starved. People wouldn't have died of typhus if they hadn't been in concentration camps. The German civilian population didn't starve. There are photographs which show very well-fed German civilians being toured by American soldiers through concentration camps. So they didn't starve. Only the guys in the concentration camps. Why were they in concentration camps? What had they done? Yeah. And if Mr. Metz wants to blame the Western allies for what happened in concentration camps, yeah, then he has to be consequent. Yeah. Then he has to also blame Adolf Hitler for the increase of mortality in the Soviet Gulag camps as a consequence of the German invasion of the Soviet Union. Yes? Yeah, more people died there because there was less food due to the war with Germany. So Adolf Hitler, by that reasoning, is responsible for the people that Stalin killed in the Gulag between 1942 and 1944. That's very, very bizarre reasoning. Okay, what else? Now I'm having trouble remembering all the.
All righty. Prove that, prove or refute that Germany started the war. Okay. Refute or address the Allied bombing, the issues of typhus, starvation in the last 5 months. And if you would like, you can also talk about Eisenhower's death camps.
Eisenhower's death camps, I know nothing about. I know there were some prison camps which had a high mortality at the beginning, yeah, which were called so-called Rheinwiesenlager. There, in total, up to 50,000 people may have died. There was a Canadian guy called James Back who claimed some nonsense about 1 million dead people. Yeah, but that has been refuted. Yeah, this is complete nonsense. The guy misread the records and he coaxed some elderly witness, yeah, who could barely see, into confirming his reading.
I thought eyewitness accounts was okay.
Huh?
I thought eyewitness accounts are valid.
Eyewitness account, yeah, to prove, yeah, that certain records point to 1 million dead bodies. Yeah, that's.
But you use eyewitness accounts to prove what you want.
Hmm?
You said that eyewitness accounts are quite are valid.
Of course, eyewitness accounts in general are valid. Yes. But you have to eyewitness. That depends on what the eyewitness is testifying to.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah, I would never use an eyewitness. I would never, and no historian would use an eyewitness to testify on the death toll, yeah, of any given crime. For that, historians use documentary evidence. Yeah. Okay. Documentary evidence and, where available, physical evidence. But they don't rely on eyewitnesses for telling people for establishing how many people died.
But that is what they have other
evidence to back this up, okay?
And that's provided by the victors.
Sorry.
That is provided by the victors.
What provided by the victors, please?
The documentation, the eyewitness accounts. You brought up the trials, the Nuremberg trials. And we do know that history is written by the victors. Do you think that is valid or not?
Of course, eyewitness testimony was provided by the victors, but the losers, they also had the chance, because this was a comparatively fair trial, despite claims to the contrary, to provide eyewitness testimonies on their behalf. They also had the chance to challenge the authenticity of documents. Yeah? They had the chance to look at the documents, to challenge the authenticity. High-ranking German lawyers like Dr. Laterza and Dr. Aschenauer, they had the chance to contest everything that was brought up. Yeah? And still, the evidence stood. Besides, most of the eyewitness testimonies, most of the documents, Yeah, most of the evidence that proves the Nazi Germs of the Jews does not come from the Nuremberg trials. It doesn't come from the victors. It comes from criminal investigations and from trials conducted by the German Federal Republic. Okay.
When were those?
Those were, they started in 1958. Yeah. And mainly carried out in the 1960s and the 1970s. Okay. According to German procedural laws, lawyers were allowed to cross-examine, to grill the witnesses. It was sometimes an awful spectacle how they grilled the witnesses. Yes? Okay?
Nevertheless... Roberto, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll draw some conclusions.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our two guests today have been Friedrich Paul Berg and Robert Muhlenkamp, and their websites, of course, are linked on the radio schedule page. This has been just a very brief interaction between two opposing sides. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of books, not so many of the revisionist ones, because a lot of them have been seized and probably, probably destroyed. But there are books available. There is a question in the chat room about the tattoos. And, of course, we know that the Nazis did tattoo all of these people. And I have to question, well, if they tattooed all these, why tattoo all these people if they're going to kill them? So let us just take, let us give Friedrich and Roberto 1.5 minutes or so to conclude their remarks. Friedrich, go ahead.
If there had been gassings with cyanide at Auschwitz-Birkenau, Heinrich Tauber wouldn't have had to go down into the gas chamber to see the corpses. He would have been seeing them every day, according to the story that we've been given. He would have seen the cherry red coloring of the corpses before he pushed them into the crematory ovens. And so would everybody else who worked in the crematoria. They would have seen the cherry red coloring, because the mere process of removing several hundred or even thousand bodies from a gas chamber is not something that you can do in a few minutes or even a few hours. It's a long, slow process. There's no point in rushing it if you don't have the capacity to burn the bodies or dispose of them in some mysterious way. So there was more than enough opportunity for every one of these dozen or two dozen eyewitnesses to see plenty of bright cherry red corpses.
Okay, Roberto, your last thoughts.
Yes, opportunity to see cherry red corpses there was, but that doesn't mean that cherry red corpses do have an important detail to people who were, to inmates who were pulling out teeth and cutting hair and laboriously dragging mangled bodies, going through some descriptions colored by menstrual blood and feces and so on, such horrible scenes out of the gas chamber. They had their hands full, okay? They need not have noticed a detail as comparatively insignificant as the liver, the red liver of hydrogen cyanide, yeah? If they had other things to capture their attention and if they had their hands full doing this gruesome work. That's illogical. That's not a must. Okay, I'd like to end with a question about tattoos, Diana. The tattoos were for inmates, yeah, for people who were taken to the camp as inmates in order to work in German war industry. Okay, the people who were not deemed able to work, okay, who were gassed upon arrival, were never taken into the camp as inmates. They never received any tattoos. Tattoos were only given to the people who were deemed able to work and who were thus taken into the camp. Yeah, and who were made to work in the German war industry. Yeah,
gentlemen, you've both been very good sports. We have run out of time. Thank you so very much for participating in this debate.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Take care, both of you. Bye-bye, listeners. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.